హరే కృష్ణ. సో టుడే విల్ డిస్కస్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 20 టెక్స్ట్ 35. చాప్టర్ 20 ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ ప్యూర్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. నైరాపేక్ష్యం పరం ప్రాహుః నిశ్రేయసం అనల్పకం. నైరాపేక్ష్యం పరం ప్రాహుః నిశ్రేయసం అనల్పకం. తస్మాన్ నిరాశిషో భక్తిః నిరాపేక్షస్య మే భవేత్. తస్మాన్ నిరాశిషో భక్తిః నిరాపేక్షస్య మే భవేత్. నైరాపేక్ష్యం, నాట్ డిజైరింగ్ ఎనీథింగ్ ఎక్సెప్ట్ డివోషనల్ సర్వీస్. పరం, ద బెస్ట్. ప్రాహు, it is said. Nishreyasam, highest stage of liberation. Analpakam, great. Tasmat, therefore. Nirashisa, of one who does not seek personal rewards. Bhakti, loving devotional service. Nirapekshasya, of one who only sees me. May unto me bhavet, may arise. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It is said that complete detachment is the highest stage of freedom. It is said that complete detachment is the highest stage of freedom. Therefore, one who has no personal desire and does not pursue personal rewards can achieve loving devotional service unto me. Therefore, one who has no personal desire and does not pursue personal rewards can achieve loving devotional service unto me. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Text 3, Chapter 10, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajjeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the supreme whole, the personality of Godhead. In this statement by Sukadeva Goswami, the words Tivrena Bhakti Yogena are very significant. Srila Prabhupada remarks in this regard, as the unmixed sun ray is very forceful and is therefore called Tivra, similarly, unmixed Bhakti Yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all, regardless of inner motive. Undoubtedly, in this age of Kali, people are generally very fallen and polluted by material lust, greed, anger, lamentation, and so forth. In this age, most people are sarvakama or full of material desires. Still, we must understand that simply by taking shelter of Lord Krishna, we will achieve everything in life. The living entity should not engage in any process except the loving service of the Lord. One must accept that Lord Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure and that only Lord Krishna within our heart can fulfill our real desire. This simple faith that one will achieve everything by approaching Lord Krishna, this simple faith that one will achieve everything by approaching Lord Krishna is the essence of all knowledge. and carries even a fallen person over the painful hurdles of this difficult age. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahaya Dadati Swapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yadkripa Tammaham Vande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It is said that complete detachment is the highest stage of freedom. Therefore, one who has no personal desire and does not pursue personal rewards can achieve loving devotional service unto me. Now, this is an interesting verse and this is an interesting combination of a purport and translation. If any of us have heard the purport very carefully and can recollect what was said, you will find that whereas in the translation it is said that complete detachment is the highest stage for freedom and therefore one should not have any personal desire and that is a condition for achieving loving devotional service, the purport is little bit more merciful. In the sense, it says, Akama sarva kamava moksha kamava dharidhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajyata purusham param. Which means, even if you are full of material desire, no problem. Welcome to the realm of devotional service to Lord Krishna. So, the translation seems to be very strict and lays down the qualification for attaining bhakti as no material desire and complete detachment, whereas the purport says that akama sarva kamava, no problem. Right? So, this shows that the devotees of Lord Krishna are more merciful than the Lord himself. There is no contradiction in this verse. It may apparently, or there is no contradiction between the purport and the translation, and that's what we will try and reconcile. On one hand, why does the Lord lay such standards, and on the other hand, the devotees say that no problem, even if you are sarva kama, welcome to bhakti, and you will reach there to that stage of detachment. So today, we'll discuss three things. One is, how does an unqualified person begin the process of bhakti? What do we mean by unqualified? A person who is sarva kama, who is fully engaged in sense gratification, who has no knowledge whatsoever of Krishna, how does he enter the realm of bhakti? Number two, we'll talk about what makes a devotee who is sarva kama, unqualified and full of material desires, into a person who is akama, whose interest is none else than serving Krishna, and how does the devotee cultivate this detachment? And three, we'll discuss some pastimes where devotees have exhibited the standard of detachment that this translation is trying to highlight here. So, coming to the first point, how does an unqualified person begin his bhakti? Most of us know how we became devotees. We became devotees. And we also know that we were totally unqualified. Even now we are, but we were most unqualified. Yes, so?
Because of prasadam.
Okay. But how do we come to the point of taking prasadam? Somebody has to tell us there is prasadam available. Right? So, most of us have become devotees, maybe not all, most of us have become devotees because we came in contact with the devotee first. Who then gave us, you know, like Ganapati Prabhu is giving cards outside, please come to the loft program or please chant the Harikshtama, those small cards which point you towards a source where you get associated with Krishna's activities. So, an unqualified person gets in touch with the association of devotees, or if not, through the association of the Vani of Srila Prabhupada and his books. So, some of us also became devotees simply because we received a book of Srila Prabhupada. So, by reading these books, a devotee starts cultivating what is called as transcendental knowledge. Knowledge which is simply beyond the knowledge of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Because the universities do not teach anything about how to overcome the cycle of birth, disease, old age and death. Universities will simply teach how to learn Java in 21 days, how to learn Linux, okay, or some mundane management philosophy at best. University education does not address the real problems of life, birth, disease, old age and death. So, when an unqualified person who is living a wayward life, indisciplined life, comes in touch with a devotee, then his bhakti process begins and then he is exposed to transcendental knowledge. So, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, Lord Krishna explains in a verse, Api ched asi papebhya, sarvebhya papakrittamah, sarvam jnana plave naiva, vrijinam santarisyasi. Even if you are considered to be the most sinful of all sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of nescience. And what is this transcendental knowledge which the devotee gets? The transcendental knowledge, but the first knowledge one which a devotee gets is that you are not the body, you are the soul, which itself is news for most of us, right? And therefore, please forget your identity that you are from this part of the country, you are from this part of the state, you speak this language, therefore you always have friends with only people who speak your language, caste, creed, so on and so forth. Right? So this ignorance first goes away when we understand that we are not the body but we are the soul. And the soul is neither Indian nor Australian nor European. Right? So, knowledge of the soul, then we get understanding of who is the Supreme Lord. Because there are 33 crore Devi Devatas. And at least in the West, this confusion is not much high. So ignorance is bliss in that sense. But in India, we have 33 crore Devi and Devatas and everybody is confused who to worship and what to do. So they invent their own processes. So knowledge of the soul, knowledge of who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then most of them have this thinking that after death we are finished. Everything is finished. Life is short. Enjoy. But we don't know that there is a spiritual realm and that the soul is eternal. So even after death, the soul still continues to have a state of existence and that soul need not have that existence within the boundaries of the material world because there is something called as a spiritual world where the soul can go. So therefore knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowledge of the spiritual realm and also the connection between the Supreme Lord and the soul. Many of us do not know that connection because of which we think after death, if we live a very nice life doing some philanthropic activities, we will develop four hands and we will become God ourselves and start blessing everyone. Okay, so we come to know after reading Srila Prabhupada's books, sorry, bad news, we are servants of Lord Krishna and we cannot become God because we are not God. We are only part and parcels of God, qualitatively one but not quantitatively the same. So this is the transcendental knowledge which a person who is unqualified, who has no idea of devotional service, gets when he starts associating with devotees. So, Srila Prabhupada was once asked by his disciples, Prabhupada, we are not qualified for bhakti. Obviously because, you know, many of them were hippies in United States who were high on LSD most of the time. So Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you are not qualified, but I have made your qualification. So, though we are not qualified, when we come in touch with the pure devotee and get transcendental knowledge, then we start developing the qualifications to approach Lord Krishna. So, gradually, when we start getting exposed to this transcendental knowledge, our mindset starts changing slowly, right? Which is what we described earlier. We come to get this knowledge and our way of thinking totally starts changing. On top of that, devotees also give us a bead and a bead bag and ask us to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So, when we start hearing, receiving this transcendental knowledge from devotees, and then we start chanting the process, then dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Then the intelligence is purified. Krishna is giving the intelligence by which we can go to the next stage, which is we start slowly accepting the philosophy and start then developing friendship with the devotees. Transcendental knowledge first, then come slowly start developing friendship with the devotees. And when we start developing friendship with the devotees, then the devotees start engaging us in service and start training us to be able to do various services. And then that relationship with devotees, through the process of service and cooperation, goes to the next platform. And then the devotee starts becoming comfortable with the word ISKCON for the first time. Because everyone is very, you know, somebody asked me in the office, are you a devotee of ISKCON? I said, what do you mean by devotee of ISKCON? We are devotees of Lord Krishna who are learning the process of how to go to pure devotion through the institution called as ISKCON, which is a bona fide institute coming in disciplic succession. Okay, so people are confused. Okay. In fact, in India, when the first time I heard about ISKCON, somebody told me, hey, that ISKCON is only for wealthy people here. Big people come there, that's all. And then I heard quite the opposite from somebody else. They said that ISKCON means, you know, that R.D. Burman's Hare Krishna, Hare Rama song, you know, Dam Maro Dam. Okay? So when you say Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, I used to remember that Bollywood song where people are high on LSD and some joker has made a movie and he has completely misrepresented what is Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So I came within with all this junk and garbage in my mind. And then it took a lot of affection from the person who was preaching to me to bring me lovingly to Krishna consciousness. Despite my stubborn attitude. So, but then once I started reading Srila Prabhupada's books, coming to the temple gradually and hearing lectures, then the receptiveness increased. And then gradually one starts getting affiliated to ISKCON and one starts then, one grows within this institution till the point that one then takes a commitment to the Brahma Madhya Gaudiya Sampradaya through the process of taking shelter or initiation from a spiritual master. And then one begins the serious journey to go from the platform of Sarva Kama to the platform of Akama. So that is the answer to the first question. How does an unqualified person begin the process of bhakti or begin the journey of bhakti? The conclusion is by developing transcendental knowledge through pure devotees who are coming in bona fide disciplic succession and receiving training from them and engaging in service and thereby building our qualification. Yes. But even after all this, after we start 16 rounds, after we start following 4 regulative principles, after we leave tea and coffee, after we leave onion and garlic, after we start doing all kinds of services, still the desire for Sarva Kama is there. Okay. So in Tamil we say Aathala Urukal, Setala Urukal, we say. Means, you know, one leg is in the house and one leg is in the sand. Like that. Okay. So you are not neither here nor there. You are riding on two boats. You know, devotional life, Saturday, Sunday, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then Monday you are in mode of passion at work. Completely different. You know, you are in a highly political atmosphere. Right? And you are in a competitive atmosphere. Then you have performance appraisals. Okay. So it's a totally different mood. And then you have pressure from relatives and friends. What did you achieve? How much marks you got in your B.Tech? Which college you studied in? All this puts pressure, right? And then what job you got? What is your annual salary? What's your position in your office, right? Which car are you driving nowadays? Where your house is? Okay, is it in a good locality, respectable locality where respectable people stay, right? So all these kind of pressures. Okay, then your cousin brother back home has achieved this. Okay, therefore you should. So all these kinds of pressures are there. So we get into all these pressures and then our then we start tilting towards the other side slowly. No. Let me achieve something first in my life and then let me start detaching myself from those achievements. Okay. So that's how the mind goes here and there. So how does the journey from Sarvakama to Akama happen? So one day, and this is after becoming devotees. So one day a devotee, his mind was giving him lot of trouble. So he went and asked Jayanand Prabhu. Most of you know about Jayanand Prabhu, right? Jayanand Prabhu was the most intimate disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Okay. And he is known as one of the best servants that one can think of. When we think of service to Srila Prabhupada, first name comes as Jayanand Prabhu. So, he went and asked Jayanand Prabhu, Prabhu, I have become a devotee. Now, how do I keep away from Maya? Can you please advise me? So, Jayanand Prabhu said, I don't have time to think about how to be free from Maya. Just imagine. I don't have time to think about how to be free from Maya. It's a beautiful answer, right? So what he's saying is, Jayanand Prabhu told him that, in fact, Jayanand Prabhu was so engaged all the time in Krishna conscious activities. He was taking out the garbage. He was doing kitchen service. He was cooking also. Then he was doing deity worship also. Then he went out and did fund collection also. Then he did book distribution also. And through all this, he did his 16 rounds also and attended Mangala Arati. Right? So everything he was doing. So he said, I do not have time to think about how to be free from Maya. And that is the way of getting out of this Maya. Therefore, only when one has time at hand, in Hindi we say fizul ka vakt, okay, useless time, extra time we have. Only when we have this extra time, does one gain enthusiasm for sense gratification. Okay. When the mind is idle. Therefore, the way of controlling this mind, which is taking us from the Akama platform more towards the Sarvakama platform, is to fill our complete day with Krishna conscious activities. There is no other way. We cannot artificially control the mind. So, one day, Srila Prabhupada told his disciples that Maya is very tricky. Maya is very tricky. The devotee is very nicely engaged. So, the mind starts telling the soul, suddenly, my dear sir, you are a very nice devotee. You are always chanting, serving, preaching, doing Harinam Kirtan, doing book distribution so nicely. Can you please give me one moment of yours amidst your busy schedule? The soul says, No, I'm busy now. Just one moment. That's all. Just one moment. I'll show you something. I don't want to see anything. I'll show you something which you may not enjoy. It's okay. But you can use for preaching purposes. So let me show you something. And he said, Okay, what is it now? Okay, so Maya shows you. Just give me one moment of yours. And you will see that it did not harm you in any way. Okay. So the jiva just mildly goes and sees something. Okay. And then starts thinking about it. But then we say, no, Jai Srila Prabhupada. No, I will not act on whatever I saw or thought. But then next time, Maya comes with another proposal. It says, see, last time you saw whatever I showed you. Nothing happened, no? So come again. Nothing happened to you so far. Okay. So slowly then the mind starts drifting. Delta, delta, delta. It may not happen abruptly when we are in devotional life. So the story, there's one proverb which says, the camel slowly inches its way into the tent. So the story goes that in the sand dunes of Arabia, okay, it was very cold. It was winter, right? And then there was a camel and there was a master. And there was a tent. Okay. So one day, the master was sleeping inside. And when he was sleeping inside, he woke up, he saw that the backside of the camel was inside the tent. The camel was outside, but its backside was inside the tent. So he asked the camel, hang on, what's going on here? So camel said that, I want to serve you properly, so I just want to keep my backside a little bit warm. So, let my backside be inside the tent like that. So he said, okay, fine, as long as you know, it's not disturbing me, I have my own space, so no problem, let the backside be there. So he was very kind enough. After some time, the camel said, see, tomorrow onwards, we are going on a long journey. Okay? So I really have to be fit. Okay? So how about I bring my hind legs also into the tent? So the master said, no problem. Okay? And he said, that way I can serve you better tomorrow. It's only for your service, I'm doing this. And then after some time, he realized that the camel's middle part of the body was inside the tent. Okay? And then finally, the hump came inside, the neck came inside, and then the master was out of the tent. The camel was inside the tent. So this is how our mind works. So therefore, it is recommended that a devotee should not try to allow the camel of the mind to capture the tent of Krishna consciousness. A devotee tries to finish his time in the material world as soon as possible and get out. That's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj said that this material world is not a place for a gentleman. But still, we have to do our job in the material world. Come tomorrow, Monday morning, we have that 9 o'clock meeting at office. Right? So how do we manage then? Right? So, there is an example which I recently heard in a lecture. There was this Gujarati boy called as Hiten Mehta. Now Gujaratis, my wife is Gujarati, sorry. I don't have anything against Gujaratis, they are very nice people. But Gujaratis have this... Gujaratis are, you know, they have a natural talent for business, you know, for getting their job done somewhere, you know, like that. It's well known. That's why if you see in India, and as well as in UK, you go anywhere, the Patels are the most famous in the UK and you know, US. You go anywhere, the Patel means businessman, you know, Gujarati businessman like that. So, they have a real good talent for spotting opportunities, business and you know, going about their job. So, this guy was Hiten Mehta, he was a student in England. And he was studying in an English school, and where you know it was a Catholic school in the UK. Now obviously he was very conscious of his grades, and if you have to get good grades, obviously you have to please your teacher. So one day the teacher posted a question to the class: who is the most famous personality in this world? So then so many boys were there. They said one said Hitler, one said Winston Churchill. So on and so forth. So many people said so many things. But when it came to Hiten Mehta, he said, undoubtedly Jesus Christ. He said. And the teacher said, very good. Very good. I'm very pleased with you. Okay. And then after the class, the teacher asked him, how did you get the right answer? Undoubtedly Jesus Christ. You are a Gujarati. He said, yeah. He said that, no, I study in a Christian school and I'm very conscious. Okay. And I know very well that actually the greatest personality is Lord Krishna. But I said Jesus Christ because business is business. So, I heard this in a lecture. And then, the whole point is that a devotee sometimes externally may have to show something else to the world to get on with the day-to-day activities. Obviously, you know, we cannot go with dhoti and kurta and tilak to the office. You know, we'll get thrown out in the next moment. Right? So and in office, you are expected to work very passionately. Like Gopal Ranjish Prabhu, in the previous class, when I asked him a question as to how he managed his PhD, at the same time, he was also taking Brahmachari Ashram those days. So this is beyond my imagination, how he managed it. But then he told all of us that when he worked on his PhD thesis, he was showing that he's very enthusiastic about doing more and more research in that subject, whereas his actual research at home was in Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And then the authorities who have given him the PhD were completely convinced, so this is the person who is going to pursue doctoral research in this field, which he has long left now, I think. Right? So that's the way of working at our workplaces. Okay? So, similarly, there's one more example of the mind. Haridas Thakur. So one is, how do we control our mind? We have to be very careful that we project to the external world as if we are very interested in sarvakam, but internally we are not sarvakam, we are akam. Right? And that is just to keep body and soul together so that then we can continue our devotional process uninterruptedly. Similarly, Haridas Thakur example. When the prostitute was sitting in front of him, Srila Haridas Thakur said, prostitute presented a proposal to Haridas Thakur. Let us, I want to enjoy with you. So Hadiras Thakur said, I will accept your proposal.
He didn't say, no.
No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. He said, I'll accept your proposal, but hang on, just let me finish my chanting. And the chanting never ended after that. Right? And then the prostitute became a devotee. So, sometimes the learning is, if we just say, mind, get lost, the mind does not get lost. It just doesn't go anywhere. It comes back. And the mind then eventually comes back and sends us to hell. So, the mind can really make our life miserable. So, the way we approach our mind is like Hiten Mehta. We approach it in a very business-like manner. Hang on, mind. One second. You want to enjoy? Yeah. I'll come. Let me just finish this one, you know, dirty dressing. Okay. After that, again the mind will say, now you're finished. No, relax. No. I'll relax. Definitely I'll relax. Let me just finish my fruit offering service. Okay. And that way you go on cheating the mind. And gradually, at some point in time, it will become very natural that the mind will give up after some time, saying that this guy is no good, let me leave this place and get out somewhere. Right? So that's the practical way of keeping the mind aside and moving from akama to sarvakama. So once, a senior devotee was asked, how can we prevent maya from entering? And this devotee gave a very nice answer. The answer was, you can surmount, overcome the demands of your mind if you fit 26 hours of devotional activities in 24 hours of the day. Okay. Only then you can overcome the demands of your mind. So therefore the conclusion is that the secret of cultivating detachment is to keep oneself busy and engaged at all time in Krishna conscious activities. So we saw two things. We talked about how a devotee, an unqualified person, begins bhakti, where we said that through transcendental knowledge, contact with pure devotees in bona fide disciplic succession and training and service gradually builds our qualification. Then we talked about how from the devotee comes from the sarvakama to the akama platform, and that is by keeping oneself constantly busy in Krishna consciousness, so mind doesn't have time to disturb us, and that way we gradually get detached from the desire to enjoy, because we never indulge in enjoyment to be able to further propel or fuel our desires. So these are the two things which we saw. Finally, we'll talk about some of the pastimes of devotees who have exemplified this kind of a detachment in their lives. So we start with Maharaj Priyavrat in Canto 5. Okay. So Maharaj Priyavrata, as most of you who have read Srimad Bhagavatam will know, that Maharaj Priyavrata was the son of Swayambhu Manu. Right? And he was supposed to become the king. But unfortunately, or fortunately, Maharaj Priyavrata was under the training of Srila Narada Muni, right? Since childhood. Okay. And because he was under the training of such a qualified person, he kept his whole day busy in Krishna conscious activities. Okay. Therefore, when his father, Swayambhu Manu, came to him and said, now can you please adopt Grihastha Ashram, okay, and create progeny and rule the kingdom, then Maharaj Priyavrata's natural inclination was to say, thank you very much, sorry, Hare Krishna. But this is what he told. And Swayambhu Manu, who was the king, tried to convince this young prince, no, it's your duty to run this kingdom, so you have to do it for me. So, but he had no inclination whatever because of the training which was given by Narada Muni. Right? So therefore, finally Lord Brahma had to descend along with all the demigods to convince him. Right? And when Brahma convinced him, then finally he accepted that role. But there are certain interesting instructions which Brahma gave him, which I'll just read out. There are 3-4 verses, just translations I'll read out. Lord Brahma is trying to make a very, very good point on how he convinces Maharaj Priyavrata to accept this ashram. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5, text 1, sorry, canto 5, chapter 1, text 11. So Brahmaji uses the following to convince him. He says in the 11th text, it is the order of the Supreme Lord that you come and rule the kingdom. It is the order of the Supreme Lord, and nobody can deviate from the order of the Supreme Lord. So this is the first instruction he gives him in text 11. In text 14, he says, my dear boy, please listen carefully, my dear boy, all of us are bound by the Vedic injunctions to the divisions of Varna Ashrama according to our qualities and work. These divisions are difficult to avoid because they are scientifically arranged. We must therefore carry out our duties of Varnashrama Dharma like bulls who are obliged to move according to the direction of the driver pulling on the ropes which are tied to their noses. Then in text 17 he says, Lord Brahma is instructing Maharaj Priyavrat, even if he goes from forest to forest, even if he goes from forest to forest, one who is not self-controlled must always fear material bondage. It's a very powerful statement. Even when you go forest from forest thinking that you are vanaprastha or whatever, as long as you are not self-controlled, you must always fear material bondage, regardless of whatever ashram you are in. You may become sannyasi also, but if you are not self-controlled, then still you can have material bondage in any varna and any ashrama. Because you are living with six wives. The mind and the five knowledge acquiring senses. So as long as we live with the mind and five knowledge acquiring senses, regardless of any ashram, we'll always be under bondage. Even householder life, however, and he says, even householder life, grihastha ashram, however, cannot harm a person who is self-satisfied. A learned man who has conquered his senses. And in text 18 he says, one who is situated in household life and who systematically conquers his mind and five sense organs is like a king in his fortress who conquers his powerful enemies. After one has been trained in household life and his lusty desires have decreased, he can move anywhere without danger. So even after we take grihastha ashram, if we conquer our lusty desires, we can move anywhere without danger. And in text 19 finally he says, conquer the six sense organs, the mind and knowledge acquiring senses. Accept material enjoyment. He says, accept material enjoyment. Accept material enjoyment because the Lord extraordinarily has ordered you to do this. So be detached by sense control, but still accept whatever material enjoyment that is coming to you because of your kingly position, because the Lord has ordered you to accept that position. You will thus always be liberated from material association and be able to carry out the Lord's orders in your constitutional position. Thus, although completely free from material contamination, Maharaj Priyavrat ruled the kingdom after these powerful instructions of Brahma only so as to please the orders of his superiors. And what enabled him to do his role perfectly is the initial years of training in Brahmacharya, which he got from none other than Narad Muni. So he never wavered from there. And because of complete preoccupation in spiritual life, even though he was ruling the kingdom, he did not fall prey to his own position and the demands of his activities arising from that position. So this is called as detachment of consciousness, which this verse talks about. Detachment of consciousness while still engaged in the external activities demanded by our varna or by our ashrama. Another example is Arjuna. Arjuna had no interest in the kingdom, but he fought the battle of Kurukshetra and agreed to rule the kingdom only because it was the instruction and desire of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead also teaches us how to become detached. Lord Krishna had 16,108 wives. Each of them was even more beautiful than Cupid. Still, Lord Krishna was never agitated. He managed to give equal time to all these wives. From the morning till the late night, he was with them. But at the same time, after having given all this affection to them, still he was disciplined enough, again in the morning, to set an example for all of us. He used to again come back to his meditative practices in the morning. So, Lord himself says that a devotee may be in family life, but a devotee should give all of love and affection to his family, but never become too attached internally to family life. So in Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 verse 10, the Lord says, Brahman yadhya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiya lipyate na sa papena padma patram ivam basha. The Lord says, one who performs his duty without attachment, surrendering the results unto the Supreme God, is not affected by sinful action, as the lotus leaf is untouched by water. So there's a lotus leaf, there's a water which is tottering on that leaf, but still it is untouched. That's how a householder, or anybody for that matter, a sadhaka, should conduct himself in material life. Be in the material world, but be like a leaf, water on a leaf in the material world. Okay. Even a drop touches, it falls off. So even some material element comes, it just doesn't touch us and it falls off. So our consciousness must be like the lotus leaf. It will not stick. Another pastime is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now when Lord Chaitanya was in Navadvip, and this is the pastimes post his Gaya, when Lord Chaitanya showed openly to the world that he is a devotee. So one day, the Lord was experiencing the mood of Srimati Radharani. And as he was experiencing the mood of Radharani, suddenly he remembered the father of Srimati Radharani, who is Vrishabhanu. Now as he remembered, the Lord loudly started roaring, Pundarik Bap, Pundarik Bap, Pundarik Bap. Bap means father. So he called out Pundarik Bap, and nobody had heard. What is this Pundarik Bap he's talking about? So very soon, the next day, a powerful personality called as Srila Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to reside in Navadvip. So he came from a place called Chattagram, which now I believe is called as Chittagong. So, parallelly what happened, Lord Chaitanya had his childhood friend who was Srila Mukunda Sarkar. And Srila Mukunda Sarkar was very close with Srila Gadadhar Pandit. And Srila Gadadhar Pandit is none other than the incarnation of Srimati Radharani. So, Gadadhar Pandit was, obviously, he was none other than Radharani. He was highly renounced since childhood and he had a great attraction for Lord Krishna's pastimes. And he had no attachment whatsoever to the material world. So, when Lord Chaitanya said, Pundarik Bap, Pundarik Bap, Mukunda Sarkar understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya and he said, let me take Gadadhar Pandit, who is highly renounced, who has nothing to do with this material world or the allurements of this material world, let me take him to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So when Gadadhar Pandit went along with Mukunda Sarkar to meet Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was sitting on a bed. And this bed was not an ordinary bed. Right? It was a very opulent bed. And he was sitting like this, reclining position, and he was having a hookah. He was having hookah and he was having betel nuts. What do you call it, betel nuts? Supari. Right? He was having betel nuts. Okay? And he was dressed in very highly opulent clothes. Very, very opulent place. And there were servants running here and there and serving him. One of the servants was just breaking the supari, that betel nut, to be able to give Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And then Mukunda Sarkar took Gadadhar Pandit, who had nothing to do with the material world or the allurements of this material world, to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So he obviously, Gadadhar Pandit did not relish this scene. He said, "Who are you asking me to meet?" Immediately his thoughts were, such a worldly man enjoying material pleasures, what do I have to do by meeting this person? So then, but Mukunda Sarkar was a very good narrator of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. That's why Mahaprabhu sent him there to do the job. So when Mukunda Sarkar started narrating the pastimes of 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he started narrating the pastime of Putana, the moment he started narrating the pastime of Putana, immediately that person who was reclining on the bed and having hookah and supari, he got up from his seat and he ran like a wild man, tearing all his clothes, removing his bed and throwing everything. He was doing all kinds of damage that anyone can possibly not even think of. Right? Absolute, like a madman he was behaving, and started rolling on the ground, and all Ashtatattvika Bhava manifested in his body. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, then he understood that this is not an ordinary person, because he is displaying all the Ashtatattvika Bhava. Immediately on just hearing the one pastime of Lord Krishna, and then obviously Radharani is meeting her father. So Gadadhar Pandit is meeting his father Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who is none other than Vrishabhanu. Okay. So the point is, a devotee externally may be enjoying all kinds of, seeming to enjoy all kinds of opulences, but then inside a devotee has to always be like a time bomb. The slightest prick reminding of Krishna consciousness, immediately his natural affection for Krishna will come out. So that is the thing which Maharaj Priyavrat also was told, and that is what Pundarik Vidyanidhi is also showing us here. Similarly, Ramanand Rai. Srila Ramanand Rai was none other than the governor of Madras. Such a powerful senior position. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra depended on him for practically everything. But simply when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him to, and he wanted to serve the Lord, he simply gave up that position. He didn't even think about his position, that I am the governor or so and so forth. So he demonstrated the kind of detachment that this verse calls for, and then he immediately rushed to the service of Lord Chaitanya. Similarly, Maharaj Pratap Rudra also at that point in time did not say that you are my subordinate, I am the king, how dare you go. In fact, Maharaj Pratap Rudra told him, you go and serve Lord Chaitanya, I will ensure that there is no problem with your salary, I will continue giving you whatever that you have. And therefore Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with Maharaj Pratap Rudra, though Maharaj Pratap Rudra externally was a worldly man ruling a kingdom, but he was so attached to Lord Chaitanya, and that attachment he manifested by demonstrating a service attitude to those devotees who were directly serving Lord Chaitanya. And therefore Mahaprabhu was very pleased with him. The other pastime comes in mind of Srivas Pandit. When Mahaprabhu and the entire Sankirtan party was chanting in Srivas Pandit's house continuously, at that time Srivas Pandit's only son died, left his body. Right? Now obviously, you know, when such a thing happens, when loud kirtan is going on and we find that our child has left his or her body, then what is going to be the consciousness? Immediately we'll start losing interest in everything. And we may think, is Krishna there or what? That is the first thing. If he is there, why did he do it to my son? But look at the detachment of Srivas Pandit. Okay, he told his family members that if your sorrow even touches Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of Sankirtan, this very day I'll go out and drown myself in the Ganges. So please keep quiet about it, that he has left his body. Do not disturb the Sankirtan movement. How many of us can have that kind of a detachment? Very difficult. Right? So Srila Prabhupada says that a pure devotee, these kind of devotees, they'll take care of their children. They'll ensure that the children get the top class education, get all kinds of facilities that is needed, but still they will have no material attraction or expectations from their children. In fact, the mood of Srivast Pandit was that he has left his body most auspiciously during Sankirtan. So I am very fortunate. And that is the mood of detachment. Another pastime is of Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen was none other than, you know, his duty was very similar to Brahmakund Prabhu's duty. Okay. Okay. Arranging for all the facilities for people getting transported from Middle Park to Winchelsea Farm. Right. So Shivananda Sen was given this task of doing this activity in for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Whenever devotees used to go from Navadvip to Jagannath Puri, he had to make all these arrangements. Now, once, he, because of some problem with the tax officials, there was a delay in Shivananda Sen making some arrangements for the Lord and Lord Nityananda specifically. And Lord Nityananda got very upset with him. Externally, he was showing obviously that he's very upset with him. And he cursed that may all the sons of Shivananda Sen die. Lord Nityananda is cursing. And when Supreme Personality of Godhead is cursing, who can do anything there? Lord Nityananda is Balaram, Ananta Jesh himself. Right? So he's saying, let him die. And when the wife of Shivananda Sen heard this, she knew all the philosophy. Lord Nityananda is Balaram, he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything she knew. But, what about my son? You know, he has cursed and now my son will die. So she was very, very upset. Okay. And then she complained to Shivananda Sen. She went and expressed her grievance to Shivananda Sen. And Shivananda Sen said to his wife, you fool! If it pleases Lord Nityananda, then all our children, let them die. So be it. This is what he told his wife. Okay. Then he said, he further went and approached Lord Nityananda. When he approached Lord Nityananda, with forgiveness, Lord Nityananda not only cursed his children, but he, when he went for forgiveness, he kicked him. He kicked Shivananda Sen. Right? But still, Shivananda Sen apologized to the Lord. And he said, my dear Lord, I have made arrangement for you. He made immediate arrangements for the Lord in the house of a milkman there. Okay. And then he told the Lord, you whose lotus dust, the dust of your feet, is sought by Lord Brahma himself, I am so fortunate that with those feet you have kicked me. So I am the most fortunate person and this is the only deliverance for my wretched body. That was the mood of Shivananda Sen. So completely detached from false ego. In fact, Lord Chaitanya, when he knew the glories of Shivananda Sen, he was approached very frequently by a person called Modak. Lord Chaitanya was approached by this person. So when this Modak came one day, this Modak announced to Lord Chaitanya that tomorrow my son's mother, which means my wife, will also come and meet you. Now Lord Chaitanya was none other than Lord Krishna himself demonstrating the pastime of sannyas, right? And Lord never used to look at women, never used to talk about women, very high standards. So when Modak came and told him, I'll bring my wife tomorrow, Lord Chaitanya was not pleased. He did not encourage him at all. But at the same time, that Lord Chaitanya who was very strict, when it came to Shivananda Sen, he personally inquired, how is your wife? Right? And then he inquired, when the child was born, Lord Chaitanya himself blessed him to be the servant of Paramananda Puri. Personally invited Shivananda Sen and put his toe in the mouth of his little child. So much interest he took in the wife and the family of Shivananda Sen. And when the child stuck the toe of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became none other than Kavi Karanapur, okay, the famous devotee. Okay. And Lord Chaitanya instructed his personal servant Govinda that as long as Shivananda Sen and his family live in Jagannath Puri, give my remnants to them every day. Right? Otherwise Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very clear as to who his remnants go to. Right? So he did everything to take care of the wife and children of Shivananda Sen. Okay. But Shivananda Sen himself was not at all attached to his family in that point. He was affectionate but not attached.
So the point is, the faith which we talked about in this verse, that if we have that kind of a faith in Lord Krishna, then we still can continue to be affectionate, but can work within our family without attachment, knowing very well that the Lord will take care of our family. So that helps us get detached from our family. Another example is given of Sridhar Swami. Sridhar Swami, one day he was sleeping, and if you know the story of Sridhar Swami, he had lost his wife. He was in Grihastha Ashram and he had lost his wife. And there was a young child. And internally he wanted to surrender to the Lord, but he was thinking, who will take care of my son? Now as he was lying on his bed one day, he saw there was a lizard. There was a big lizard, and that lizard had laid whatever, an egg or whatever, and then the offspring had just come out, and that lizard fell from the top and died immediately, the mother lizard. And then the offspring, the small lizard, started going here and there, wandering aimlessly, and after some time it came to a point wherein there was a small insect or fly which was in front of that, and immediately the lizard, the baby lizard, went and took that fly. The fly came right in front of its mouth, and then it got its food. So Sridhar Swami took that as an example and said that if the Supreme Personality of Lord can protect the baby lizard by providing its food whenever it needed, why will he not protect my son? And immediately Sridhar Swami took the decision to take sannyas. So that was the kind of detachment which he said. Finally, talking about the Pandavas. The Pandavas, they were such a close-knit family. Each brother would do anything for the other one. So much of unity, there was absolutely no envy amongst the Pandava brothers. Still, when Maharaj Yudhishthir heard that Lord Krishna has left the planet, what happened to the Pandavas? Were they still together with one another? No. Immediately as Maharaj Yudhishthir got this news that Lord Krishna has now left the planet, he placed Maharaj Parikshit on the throne of Hastinapur, turned his consciousness completely inward. It is said that Maharaj Yudhishthir then started wearing torn clothes, stopped taking any solid food. Currently, you know, in Bhagavatam, in Bhakti Vaibhav, we are hearing the stories of Maharaj Prithu. So very similar. The Maharaj Yudhishthir also demonstrated the same things. No solid food. And he started walking north. Talk about Kunti Maharani. Kunti Maharani stayed in this very family despite all kinds of troubles, just to keep all the Pandavas united and together. Right? So that Kunti Maharani, who dedicated her whole life, who was so attached to the Pandavas, totally detached herself from the same Pandavas and fixed her mind on Lord Krishna when Lord Krishna was not in the center. The five brothers, who were inseparable, saw Maharaj Yudhishthir leaving even without speaking a word to them. Maharaj Yudhishthir did not even tell anything. He just left the house when he heard that Lord Krishna has left this planet. Draupadi also, who had served the Pandavas so chastely, so sincerely, she also, when she heard this, joined Subhadra and went along with her to the forest. So the point is, without Krishna being in the center, all these familial relationships have no importance whatsoever. Even Bhima, it's Prashadam time now, so even Bhima, who was the most voracious eater, thinking of Prashadam, right? Even when he heard that Maharaj Yudhishthir has also left and Lord Krishna has left, even he started living on the same diet as what Maharaj Yudhishthir was living. So that was the kind of renunciation. So if even Prashadam made sense to him, even that eating made sense to him only when Lord Krishna was in the center. But when he left, he lost complete interest in the material world. So this is how pure devotees show this attachment. Finally, Srila Prabhupada, he demonstrated to us how he left family life. So Srila Prabhupada said, my wife said, he told his wife, either it is tea or me. Right? And wife chose tea. Srila Prabhupada came out of the house. Like that. Okay? So he did not think. And Srila Prabhupada never again went back to that house and dedicated his whole life for spreading Krishna consciousness. So this is some of the symptoms of detachment that these elevated devotees have shown, which is what this verse talks about today. So I'll conclude here. We discussed three things. How does an unqualified person begin bhakti? We talked about what makes a devotee who is sarvakama come to the kama platform, and then we saw examples of some devotees who have shown this kind of a detachment still living in family life. I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shrimad Bhagavatam ki jai.